Dear Lord Jesus, we're so thankful. We're so thankful to be here today and for your presence. Lord, I pray that that song would truly be each and every one of our heart's desire, that there's no place we'd rather be than in your presence, hearing your voice, walking in obedience, following your way. Father, I pray that each one of us now, as the message is delivered, that we would hear from you. It wouldn't be me speaking, but it would be you speaking through me, Heavenly Father. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The title of the message today is Living by Faith. It makes me think of that old song, Living by Faith. Maybe we can sing that one tonight. I hadn't heard that song in a long time, but I want to begin with 2 Corinthians 5:7, and then we're going to be in Numbers for a while, Numbers 13. So if you just want to open to Numbers, but 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We live by faith, not by sight." And I don't know about y'all, but so often, that's how we're supposed to live, but how many of us really live that way? Or we're looking at circumstances, we're looking at things around us, and we see what's going on, and that's really what generates what's inside of us and how we respond, how we're acting. It's the situations that we're seeing. And from failure, any of you ever look at failure and then you get discouraged, the evil going on, and then fear creeps in, and we're seeing everything that's going on in our society, in our world, and our personal lives, maybe at work, and we can get so upset when things aren't the way that we think they're supposed to be. We can get so upset when life is going in a different direction than we had planned. Any of y'all ever planned something and it just doesn't go right? I mean, that happens quite often, it seems like, in my life. And if you focus on what you're seeing, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get upset. And as I was thinking about this and praying about this, I usually do my sermons on Friday. We'll review it on Saturday and then again on Sunday morning. And this morning when I got up and I just kept thinking and going over the sermon again. And I always think about living by faith, not by sight. And we look at all the bad going wrong. And that's kind of how we go from there. But there also, we can get deceived by good, can't we? We can get deceived by things when it seems like we're being blessed, when it seems like things are going in the right direction, but we can be out of God's will because Satan can be leading us astray. You look at even churches. How many times you see a church that's so successful and as far as numbers of people, but is God's work really taking place there? See, we can be deceived into thinking, well, man, they're growing, they got numbers and everything else, but is God's will really being done there? We're not to live by sight, but to live by faith. And I want to go back to Numbers 13 and just look at a little bit of what was going on here. Numbers 13, verse 1, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites.'" The Lord told Moses, "Send some guys out and let them look at this that I'm giving you. The land that I am giving you," he commanded them to go out. And I was thinking about this, and I don't know why this came in my head. It's really not a good comparison. But let's say Peter says, "Pete, I'm buying you a new car. And I want you to go up there to the Chevy dealership and you look at that lot at that new truck that I'm getting you. You go on up there and look at it because I'm buying you a new truck." Now, if Peter said that, I would believe Peter and I would go look at that new truck. But then what if I come back and I said, "Peter, those salesmen, they were mean, they were ugly, they weren't very nice. We can't go up there and buy a new truck from them." Y'all would say, "Peter, you dumb or what? Peter already said that he's buying you the truck. You go get that new truck," right? Well, here, the Lord's saying, "Go look at this land that I am giving you. It's what I'm giving you. Go check it out. See how awesome this land is that I'm giving you. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So I want you to think about that. The Lord says, send some men, and don't just send the common Joe. Send the leaders. Send the top officials. Send these guys that know, that should know me, that are leading my people. Send them. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. I think that's interesting that it's the leaders that are going out. And then you jump forward. This is familiar text, but sometimes being familiar with something will turn our ears and say, I've heard this story before. I've heard this story before. Please don't do that. Listen to what the Lord has to say to each and every one of us today. So we're going to jump over to verse 25. And it says, let me find it. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. They're saying, man, what God said is right. This place is awesome. Here's the fruit. It's a great place. It's beautiful, the fruit and everything else. But, verse 28, but the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of the Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. They're building up. Boy, but look at, it's good. Here's the leaders. God's already given it to you. It's a good land. But what did they see? They didn't see God had already given it to them. They seen the enemy. They seen the battle. They seen what that they might have to go through. They were living by sight. How many of us in our lives are still living by sight? God's given us a word. God's given us something to do, a task. And it could be something small. It could be something big. And when we begin to do it and we want to walk in it, but all at once these problems come, these troubles come, these circumstances happen. And what do? We begin to look at the circumstances. But verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. So here, they've already said, this land's good. The leaders are saying, but you ought to see the people there. They're big, they're ugly, they're mean. And Caleb says, hush! Hush, let's just go do it. God said it's ours. Let's just go up and take it. But the men who had gone up with him, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great size. We saw the Nephilims there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshopper in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. They're looking at the circumstances. They're looking at the situation. They're looking at everything that can come against them instead of holding on to God said, it's yours. Take it. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Why is the Lord bringing us into the land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said this to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Now, I want y'all to remember the Red Sea's already been parted here. They'd already seen miracles of God. And what do they say? Let's just go back. This is too hard. This is too hard. You know, that still happens today. People say they're going to follow Jesus, and then when things get hard, they turn back. When life isn't just perfect, when they didn't get that promotion, they didn't get that raise, their marriage is having problems, their kids still won't disobey. They say, why am I even doing this? It's just too hard. I'm turning back. I'm going back. Why should I follow you, God? God had already told them, you take the promised land and see. They were seeing with their eyes, and they were gripped with fear by all the people. And this morning I was thinking about this, and I thought, what's easier for you to believe? Is it easier for you to believe that something bad's going to happen or that something good's going to happen? Now, are you one of those people that, this could happen and this could happen and this could happen, all the negatives? Or are you one of the people that's positive and say, well, this could happen and this could happen and this could happen? I got to tell you, I'm probably more on the negative than I am on the positive. But I shouldn't be that way. But I just, more often than not, I see the bad that could happen instead of the good, instead of saying, look what God can do. They'd spread a bad report. They wanted to go back. They said, this is hard. The fear had gripped them. They were living by sight instead of by faith. And this is just kind of, I mean, this ain't like, you ever just stop and say, God, why is this happening? And this is a little thing, okay? But this is a little thing that happened to me this week. I many of you know we had the funeral this week. We had a busy week. My stepmom has 5 acres that I try and mow and keep up for her. I get to her house on Thursday, and nothing is going right. I got there later than I wanted to be there, and so I start my mower and it makes a funny noise. I thought, something don't sound right as I was loading it on the trailer. I started to unload the trailer and drive it to where I needed to drive it, but I always try to weed eat first. So I shut off my mower and weed eated, I don't know, 45 minutes or so. Go to get back up my mower and it won't start. Won't do, and I thought, was it the safety stuff? Messing with it. Wouldn't start. So I called Mark, my father-in-law. I said, hey, are you home? I need to borrow your mower. I hadn't mowed anything yet. I don't remember. He was in Parrish or Boonville. So I'm like, well. So I call Crystal. I'm like, I guess I'm going to have to come to school, get a key to your mom and dad's house to get his keys, to borrow his mower, to get this yard mowed. And it's getting hotter as the day goes on. And I'm trying not to be grumpy. I'm trying not to be grouchy. I'm prayed over my mower. It still wouldn't start. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Well, so I'm looking at all the bad. But one good thing is Crystal had just left to go home for lunch. So she was right by her mom and dad's house, so she could just run up and unlock the key. That saved me from having to go to her work and get the key and all that. So it's a positive. I go get Mark's mower. I mow the whole yard. Positive. Another positive is Tim has a giant come-along that's been up here at the church for a while. And for some reason, the Lord's allowed him to leave it at the church. So you know what? I have nobody to help me load this mower. If you ever tried to load a zero turn, they're not easy. They're heavy. I get up there. There's cars in my way. I say, can you move these cars? No response. I got to shove this mower a good ways. Pushing. Feel it in my back. Finally get it to where they come along. Start cranking it up. But zero turn, the wheels do this. So as I'm cranking it up, I crank it a few cranks. I got to go lift it up and move it back. Crank it a few cranks, lift it up and move it back. I'm looking at the negative. I'm looking by sight. And through all this, I kept saying, Lord, why is this happening? I don't understand. But maybe you do. Maybe there's something going on that I can't see. So what usually takes me 2 hours is going on 4.5 hours now. I go take my mower to the shop. But through all that, because this was on my mind, I kept saying, God, why? I don't understand. Now, y'all, a mower breaking down is this big in the grand scheme of life, isn't it? It's not a big deal, but it's irritating. And sometimes we just don't know why things are happening. Sometimes we don't know why we're having trouble. Sometimes we don't know why we're in a storm. And so anyway, make a long story short, the next day, they already got my mower fixed. As the starter went out, solenoid and something else. So I go pick up my mower and I pull back up. And guess what? Mark's mower's broke down now. And I said, I'm sure glad that broke on you instead of when I was mowing yesterday, because if I'd have broke two mowers in the same day, but you know what? I still had that come along from Tim in my truck. We was able to load up his mower and take it. I was looking at all the negatives, but when I really stop and think, God, you worked it out where I didn't have to go get a key. You worked it out where Tim's come along was there that I could use. You worked it out that I was able to get in the shop and get it back the next day and then help Mark load up his mower. So when you look at the positives, they even outweigh the negatives. But I still don't know why it happened. It's like, God, this sure would have been a lot easier if it wouldn't have started when I was on the trailer, you know, and then I wouldn't have unloaded it in the first place. But how often are we looking at the bad? Are we looking at the negative? Are we looking at what's going on? And it begins to build and we lose our focus. We lose our focus. They saw these giants. They saw these men that made them feel like grasshoppers. And they're looking at that instead of, they're focused on, God said it's yours. Take it. God says it's already yours. Go explore it out. I'm just giving you a preview of what's to come. But they lost their focus. Joshua 3, verse 15. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the waters from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. I want you to think about that. It's at flood stage. Don't you think God could have said, hey, let's go when it's not at flood stage. Let's go when it's a little bit easier. I believe that God sent them when it's at flood stage to see if they trust Him now and step in the waters. And what happens when they step out in the waters? The waters stop. The flood ceased. It began to pile up. It was cut off and they're marching on. And so as they're marching on to Jericho, they come to Jericho over in 6:1. And I want you to understand in my study Bible, this is what it says about Jericho, that in parts the walls were 25 feet high and 20 feet thick. And the Canaanites considered Jericho invincible. They thought nobody, I don't know, I'm not very good at heights. Would this be about 25 foot maybe? You know? So bigger, higher than our ceiling here in the church. And so they walk through flooded rivers, they stop, and they get to Jericho. Now at Jericho in 6:1, now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. I want you to think about that. This fortified city that they think's impenetrable, and God's saying, there it is, look, it's just waiting on you. It's all in a box. It's perfect for you. It's wrapped up. It's a gift to you. What would our eyes see? Look at how big them walls are. Look at how thick those walls are. They had guards circling that could see for miles. See those guards up there? How easy it would be for our focus to be on the battle instead of upon the Lord. Verse 3, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carrying trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. I want you to think about, he's saying that I'm about to give this city into your hands. And here's what you do. You march around it. And this is going to take place over 7 days. So verse 6, so Joshua, son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carrying trumpets in front of them, in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guards going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpet, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But listen to this. But Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voice, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. In my mind, I think he commanded them not to say a word because he'd already experienced what would happen when a bad report happened, right? They said, we can't do this. We look like grasshoppers. We can't defeat them. Their eyes were seeing this wall. Their eyes were seeing this wall as they're marching around it. He says, I don't want you to say a word. Don't say nothing. You ever see how fear grips? One person gets fearful and they tell somebody. Then that person begins to think about it. And then it spreads and it spreads and it spreads like wildfire. And I believe that he said, just don't say a word. I don't want you focused on that wall. I don't want you focused on anything but the Lord. And if you begin to talk, I should have looked it up. There's a verse that says where many words are present, sin is not far, or something like that. What's that saying? When we talk a lot, sin's close. He commanded them, don't talk, don't say a word. Verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed, so every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They believed. They believed. Their focus stayed upon the Lord. They believed. How many of us allow the walls, allow the trouble, allow the floods, allow the giants in our lives to stop us? Matthew 14, very familiar text here. Peter's going to walk on water. 14, verse 25. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. I think it's interesting, Jesus didn't say some big prayer. He didn't, he just said, come on out here with me. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. I think that's where many people live their lives at. Lord, save me. I see the storms. I see the wind. I'm afraid. Lord, save me. Because we're looking at circumstances, we're looking at everything going on around us, whether it's in the political realm, the physical ailments, whatever it is. Lord, we're constantly living in that state of fear. We're constantly living in that state that we're like, oh Lord, help me make it through today. Does anybody get this morning? We're so full of anxiety. We're so full of looking around at circumstances instead of saying, God, I know I'm in your will. God, I know I'm following you today. Lord, help me to overcome if any obstacle is in my way. And if that obstacle causes me to stumble, if that obstacle causes me a setback, Father, may I not take my focus off of you. Lord, save me. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. I wonder this morning if Jesus would look at my life and say, Pete, Why the little faith? Why did you doubt? Why are you living in so much fear? Why are you living in so much anxiety? Why are you doubting? And I know I've emphasized this point before when I've preached on this text before, but I love the fact that Jesus didn't let him sink and suck up some water first, did he? Said immediately when Peter cried out, he reached down and pulled him up. Immediately. How many of us today are living by faith? How many of us are living by sight? We're living by the circumstances that's going on around us. We're living by what's going on. And we're so full of fear and we're just crying out constantly, God help me, God help me, God help me. And God might be saying to you, I've already delivered you into the promised land. If you would just choose to walk in my presence and be with me daily. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. You see that? We are hard pressed on every side. That doesn't say that, oh, I'm going to wrap bubble wrap around you and put a football helmet on you and nobody's ever going to get to you. Nothing's ever going to hurt you. You're never going to have any problems. Life is grand. No, it says we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. What's that saying there? That you're gonna go through difficulties. You're gonna go through hard times. But when your life is built on Jesus Christ and you can focus on Him, you're not gonna be destroyed. You're not gonna live a life of despair. You jump down to verse 16 and it says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. The older I get, the more I feel that outward wasting away. But can I be honest? The only time I really feel renewed is when I'm following the Lord. When I'm reading the Bible, when I'm praying, when I'm not polluting my mind with the things of this world. It says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal goal that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Are we focused on the Lord, or are we listening to the voices around us in the battles? And they're saying, we can't take this city. We can't win this victory. You can't be delivered from that sin. You can't get that promotion. You're not smart enough to teach a class. All these different things that go through our head. You're just too shy and bashful to ever get up on stage and sing or play an instrument. You can't do that. I have trouble sometimes looking at stuff and getting discouraged, getting fearful. I need to make sure my focus is always upon the Lord and not circumstances and not what's going on and not allow Satan to whisper into my ear and saying, you'll never add up, you'll never have victory, you'll never. The Lord had already said, I'm giving you the land, and Caleb said, let's go up and take it. He believed, so he says, let's go up and take it. In 1 Corinthians 15:57-58, it says, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How's that any different? When the Lord told them, here's the land, take it. And now, what's He saying to us? But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory's been won! The victory's been won! Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I don't know how to fully express life's hard. We can all testify to that. I've had a very blessed life. I still have days. I still have struggles. I still have trials. Life is hard. Am I going to be like the naysayers that say, well, we just can't. You're never going to get victory. Or am I going to be like Caleb and say, the Lord already said it's ours. Here's the verse. If you've missed everything else, highlight this in your Bible. Put a note in your phone. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're struggling with something this morning, if your life's not what you thought it'd be, if your job's not what you thought it'd be, if the people in your life are not what you thought they'd be, thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means I'm not going the way of the world. I'm going through Jesus Christ. I'm looking unto Him. I'm seeking Him. I'm following Him. And then I will have the victory. It may not be while my eyes are still open here on earth. It may be someday when y'all's at my funeral and I don't want you crying for me, because the ultimate victory will have finally been won. I'll be with Jesus in His presence. I'm not up here trying to sell you something that's not truth. Life is hard. But when we're crushed on every side, we're not in despair. We're not abandoned. The victory is here for each and every one of us. With the mower, God was teaching me something. Still trying to figure it out. I didn't wear my watch today. I'm having pizza delivered at 12:30, so I said I can preach a little longer because pizza's not going to be there till 12:30. So, here's the thing. Any of y'all that's gone to church here very long at all, you know I struggle with patience. I do. I'm a delivery driver, fast, 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 in and out, get out of my way. I get frustrated with people in my way. I had to go to Harps yesterday to pick up two ingredients, two things for Crystal. I go into Harps. I have to go three aisles to find one thing. Found it. Knew where the other thing was. Go right back to it. Coming up to the cashier, the registers. Nobody's up there. Only one register open. And there's this little old man who's pushing his cart. And I swear he's moving just like this. And I know he's going to the register just like me. And I could easily, be around him. But it's kind of like the registers are where y'all's at. The guy's right here going that way to the register, and here I come. And it's like, wow. I mean, it could have been so easily to pass this guy. But I felt like the Lord said, be nice. So I said, hi, how you doing? He said, good. No exaggeration, y'all. He gets up there. He's got a full cart. I got two items. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I was nice. I didn't cut him off. Maybe he'll say, go ahead, young man. No, he didn't say that. He puts his groceries up there. And I'm just sitting there laughing to myself because I know it's burning me up on the inside. And I'm like, Lord, help me, help me. He goes to pay with a check. Sir, do you got your driver's license?
Yeah.
Get this driver's license. I'm thinking, that's going to be me one of these days. I got to be nice. His driver's license is so old and worn out, they can't get the numbers. By now, there's a line of people behind me, and many of them have one or two items. No other register, nobody else. She's got to call the manager to fix his driver's license or whatever. Finally, the manager can't get it either. And she's like, I'll get somebody over here. Like, she's looking to the back of the line. And I'm like, I got over there. Get out. The story doesn't end there. Because I'm so delayed, I get going down our highway to go home. And construction work, they're putting these reflectors on the road, you know. No big deal. But y'all, where I was at, if I'd have got out If I'd have got in front of that guy, I'd have been in the valley over here where Casey and Katie's going to live, and I could have passed that construction work no problem. But instead, they're just starting to climb a blind hill that I can't pass on. They get to the top of the hill and they stop. And I'm like, if I wouldn't have been nice, if I'd have just walked around the guy, I'd have been in front of these people, I'd have probably already been sitting in my recliner drinking a cup of coffee. And I'm sitting here behind this construction work and everything else, so what should have been a 10-minute trip turns into a 40-minute trip, and I finally get home, and you know what Crystal says to me? The Lord's always trying to teach you patience, isn't He? And I said, yes, He is. I don't understand everything. And that's a funny little story of just my life sometimes and how God's still teaching me things. But I know for myself, as I need to begin to live by faith and not by sight, I don't know. Maybe there was a reason I got hung up in that line yesterday. Maybe there's a reason I got stuck behind that traffic. I don't know. I may never know. There might be something going on in your life and you say, God, I just don't understand. It's okay to say to God, I just don't understand. I don't understand why loved ones die. I don't understand why people are in nursing homes with no minds left. I don't understand why some people get fired from their job that works so hard. I don't understand why little kids are sick sometimes. I don't understand. But if I look at circumstances long enough, I'm going to fail. And you're going to fail if you look at circumstances long enough. And that's why we can't look at circumstances. We can't look at what our eyes see, because what our eyes see will deceive us. You know, I gotta quit. Sometimes some of the most outwardly handsome, beautiful people are some of the meanest on the inside. You wouldn't know that to just look at them. You get to know them, and they're not. They're not beautiful people. Our eyes will deceive us. May we begin to live by faith and not by sight. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You for all that You're doing. I thank You that You're teaching me. Father, I pray that as You continue to teach me, that I would begin to walk in more and more victory and not fail so often. I pray for everybody in this room, Lord, that's going through struggles, that's going through trials at home, at work, with the family, with friends, whatever they're going through, Lord, that we would begin to trust in You and begin to know that the victory has come through You. That we would walk victorious every day, knowing that the victory is won only through You, and may we take our focus off of these flooded rivers, these big walls, these giants around us, and put our focus back on You, Lord. I pray for myself and for everybody in this room, Lord, this week as we hit a challenge, as we face a difficulty, that we would stop for just a moment and ask You to give us the strength, that we'd begin to see things through Your eyes. Not just react in anger, not just react in fear, but we would look unto You and know the victory has already been won if we would seek You. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything this morning, the altars are open. Thank you. I'm just curious, by show of hands, how many of y'all knew we were having service tonight? You guys all get an A+. My family said, "We're having service tonight." I said, "I've announced it the last 2 weeks." So nobody listens to me, do they? Elders meeting 5:30. No, those are always open. We are going to be discussing our missions and making sure that we're taking care of all the missions and missionaries that we support from this church. Round 6, depending on the elders meeting, we'll start service. Probably is going to be more just a singing night. We've had so much fun doing that, just requesting songs, getting some others up here to sing and everything. If you have anything on your heart you want to share, the floor is open if you would like to. I think I have one thing that I'm supposed to share tonight that won't take long. And so, but any of y'all that didn't know we were having service and already made other plans, I understand that too, because it's not a normal thing anymore for Sunday nights. But I hope you all can make it. And so have a blessed afternoon.